Back again to BadQuaker.com podcast. My name is Ben Stone, and this podcast is for Thursday, October 25th, 2012. And with me today is my sometime co-host and daughter, Kai. Kai, how you doing?
Pretty good. I am sitting in a tent in the middle of the woods in North Carolina.
And talking on Skype at the same time.
Yay, technology!
It's like magic, except it works.
It is magic. It totally is magic.
So tell me how you're saving the polar bears.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, so this was great. You know, being at working at the Ren Fairs, you have, most of the time, you have 5 days off a week, and there's not a whole lot to do, you know, and sitting in your tent in the woods gets a little boring. So we were looking at museums, you know, trying to find some place to go, and we found this Discovery Center place in Charlotte. So I go to the Discovery Center, and it's pretty cool. You know, it's very kid-oriented, so there's a lot of, like, this is how levers work, and this is how magnets work, and everything like that. But it was still really cool. So we watched this one presentation from this guy who brings out animals from the rainforest. And, you know, he's talking, and then it's all cool and everything. And then at the end, he goes into this, like, 15-minute spiel about how if you don't recycle or if you waste food, you're destroying the rainforest. And how if you don't, you know, if you don't write on both, this is what kills me. He says, if you don't write on both sides of the paper, then you're wasting trees and you're killing the rainforest. Which, I don't know what kind of really expensive paper he uses, but the paper that I use doesn't come from rainforest trees. Like, it comes from tree farms. It's like, you know, how dare you eat potatoes? Don't you know that every time you eat a potato, potato plants are dying? Well, yes, but we plant them for that purpose, specifically. Like, we're not cutting down old-growth forests for paper, you know. We're cutting down old-growth forests so that, you know, people like Al Gore can have fancy wood floors in their multi-bajillion-dollar mansions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where all those rare hardwoods and jungle exotic woods are going to that kind of thing. Yeah, bulk paper is pretty much, you know, you plant fast growing pine trees in Ohio, and within a few years you have a full crop. You can clear cut them and replant and come back again in a few years. It grows like grass here.
And they have rotating fields. You know, it's, and furthermore, okay, so you, let's pretend in this pretend world where you're cutting down rainforest for paper, that you don't want to do that anymore. You don't want to use trees for paper. Well, maybe if hemp weren't illegal, we could use hemp, because that is a fast-growing thing that uses way less energy to produce. But we can't do that because of ridiculous state regulations.
No, 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 no. Hippie anarchist is talking. No, 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 no. Not listening. No, 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 no.
But no, I'm just some pro druggy, obviously. Like,
you just want the dopes.
Right? Clearly, I just want the dopes. And, like, what kills me is the fact that the reason the rainforests are being lost at such a ridiculously high rate is because of the fact that government subsidies on monocropping grain agriculture make it to where it's way more money efficient for the farmers to just light the forests on fire because that's how they clear cut it. They don't chop it down and use that wood. They clear cut it using fire. They just burn it.
Yeah, if you actually go to Brazil, places like Brazil, and you see what they're doing, that is what they do. They set a big section of the rainforest on fire, burn it to the ground, and then plant it in sugar cane so that they can make fuel, because the government of Brazil has mandated that 100% of their fuel come from sugar cane.
Yeah.
So even though Brazil has huge oil reserves, they're clear-cutting rainforest. Well, they're not even cutting. They're burning down rainforest so they can plant sugarcane fields so that they can make the highly inefficient biofuels.
Yeah, exactly. So you're telling these little kids that if they don't write on both sides of the paper, and if they don't eat all their broccoli, and if they, you know, don't recycle their plastics or whatever, that they're responsible for destroying the rainforest, when in fact it is the state's ridiculous laws that are forcing the rainforest to be, you know, being clear cut. Like, way to blame 8-year-old children for what the state is doing.
Well, it's, you know, liberal guilt. That's a very effective tool for probably about 35% of the population.
Oh, yeah.
For the rest, it doesn't work once they get past about 12 or 14. But for about a little over a third of the population, liberal guilt will control their mind their whole life.
Yeah. And it's this ridiculous idea that, you know, these problems that the state has created, the state is perpetuating, and you know, the state is responsible for these problems, but we somehow can save it, you know. And I watched this thing about polar bears too, which they draw you in, you know. Oh, it's an IMAX theater experience of following this mother polar bear and her cubs across the Arctic. Well, who wouldn't want to watch that? They're polar bears. That's awesome. You know, I watched the one with the penguins with it, Morgan Freeman narrated. Awesome. Oh, I watched the ones about the penguins. No, it was like 30 minutes of you're destroying the environment and the polar ice caps are melting, and like 10 minutes of, oh, by the way, there's a polar bear. Like, and it's ridiculous because, first off, even if global warming is happening, which we don't really have any proof of that, but even if it is happening, we know for a fact that human beings do not cause the majority of it. You know, you look at the charts that they have, and they say, well, 97% of greenhouse gases are human caused. Okay, but that's only if you take out water. If you put water into the mix, it's like 0.7% of greenhouse gases are caused by humans.
Yeah, most people don't realize that, you know, the oceans, they actually control the interplay between the oceans and the sun. That's the two things. And the occasional volcano. Those are the things that actually control the environment. And all of the, you know, carbon, all of the carbon humanity has ever produced since it has existed is nothing compared to what one volcano can belch out. And the impact of all of humanity and all of the everything that we've ever pumped into the air, which, you know, I'm not for pollution. I know you're not.
No, either. I'm not for pollution at all. You know, but let's be honest here. Let's not have pollution because we don't like pollution. I don't like to breathe dirty air. I don't like to go into a city and as you're driving in, you just see this haze of smog. That's not good for me. It's not good for my lungs. That's not good for, you know, not having cancer. But let's not kid ourselves that this is the cause of the polar ice caps melting.
Right.
You know.
Right. One sunburst or one sunspot or a series of no sunspots can affect the atmosphere of the Earth much more than all the effects of humans combined.
And it was particularly funny because I watched, right before I watched the polar bear one, I watched one about sea dinosaurs, like sea reptiles. And that one was really cool. You know, they were talking about all the different eras that had different sea dinosaurs and everything. And how, you know, suddenly there was this huge climate change and all the dinosaurs died. Well, whose fault was that?
Clearly, it's because those... It's the kids. It's those kids that don't write on both sides of their paper.
Retroactively?
No, back in the dinosaur days, there was all kinds of bratty little kids who refused to eat their broccoli and draw on both sides of their paper. And their caveman parents were like, ugh, you're destroying the environment.
But, like, I think it's ridiculous because, like, you know, you watch one, and they're just like, oh, yeah, climate change happened, and then there were no more dinosaurs. And now it's like, oh, pollinators are dying! Well, okay, but if the dinosaurs were cute and cuddly, like polar bears, would you be upset about the fact that we had an extinction of those? Like, is it just because they're cute and cuddly? Are that the only animals we care about? Like, oh, it sells Coca-Cola! We must save it! Like, you know, oh, those dinosaurs look nasty. I don't want them around anyway.
I suppose that's the feelings that cause the occasional drunk German to wander into a polar bear display in Germany at 3 o'clock in the morning and become eaten.
Oh, did that happen?
I think it was a lion. I think it happened like a couple times in the last few years. I shouldn't pick on Germany. It may have been Poland or somewhere else in Eastern Europe, but... We have too many German listeners for me to pick on Germans exclusively.
Yeah, well, you know, Americans do their fair share of that, too.
Yeah, actually, there was somebody in San Francisco that did that not too long ago. I can't remember if it was the gorilla cage or the lion cage or tiger cage or what it was. But they basically turned into, you know, a late-night snack.
Oh, people are so dumb. So dumb. Like, oh, look, this animal looks cute and cuddly. I'm going to go hug it. That animal's a carnivore. I hope you didn't like your face.
He will hug you and squeeze you.
And call you George. Oh, I broke with my new toy.
He don't move no more. So how's the Ren Faire going down there?
It's doing pretty good. It's doing pretty well, I should say. Let's be grammatically correct here, pretending like I know stuff and whatnot.
Yeah, like you went to college and got some learning.
Yeah, just a bit, you know, a little bit, not too much learning. But it's doing pretty well. You know, good crowds, decent weather. It hasn't really rained all that much. Hasn't rained on a weekend at all since I've been here, which is fairly phenomenal. I've been hearing that apparently there's some sort of tropical storm or something that is nearby or something. I don't know. But it's not supposed to hit here, so that seems good at any rate.
I'm looking on the weather to see if I see something while we're talking here.
I think it's like tropical... Oh. Sandy or something like that.
Yeah, it's still out to sea. It's kind of moving in your direction, but it's not I don't think it's anything to worry about right now.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a good tarp, so I have yet to actually tarp my tent, but you know, in theory I could if need be.
And I'm sure you'll wait until the actual hurricane is hitting, then you'll actually get out there in the wind and try to do that.
Yeah, probably.
Just considering. Say that again.
I said, because I'm a hippie.
Just going by the past experiences, that's what you're likely to do.
Hey. No.
So now, after this Ren Faire is over, what's your plans?
I'm going to go down and hit the last couple weeks of the Louisiana Fair. And then, I don't know. I have all winter off. I don't know where I'm going to spend it. I know I'm going to spend February in Arizona, and then directly after that, I'm going to make a mad beeline for Georgia, and I'm going to go ahead and start up on the Appalachian Trail.
I'm going to get scolded by Michael W. Dean for the sound quality of this recording, so I should give a disclaimer now. You know, Kai is talking on a cell phone in the middle of nowhere over Skype. So the sound quality is not exactly what you might expect from, you know, some kind of high quality podcast like they have over there at the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, we're not on fancy equipment or anything like that. I'm on a cell phone sitting in a tent in the middle of the woods.
So if all goes well on our end, we just got our our tow trailer, our tow dolly, just came in. To use the RV expression, when you tow a car behind your RV, it's called a towed.
A towed?
Yeah, we have a towed.
As in, I thought you was a toad.
some listeners will get that movie reference.
Yay, I get to make a movie reference. It's so rare.
So our tow dolly came.
I should actually point out that I'm making a movie reference to a movie I've never seen.
You haven't seen that movie either?
No.
But it's based on...
The Odyssey.
Yeah.
I know.
Wow. Anyway, so our tow dolly came in today, and the guy delivered it, and then I had to... He delivered it. Are you there?
Did we lose it?
Yeah, we had an interruption in our internet connection.
I can hear you, but you're choppy.
Okay. Well, they can hear my voice, so I'm going to say some stuff, and then we'll go to a break. How's that?
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to explain about the tow dolly. We got our tow dolly in, and now we need like one or two more things that are supposed to come in, and then we're going to load up the motorhome with our towed behind, with our car that we're towing on the tow dolly, and we're going to head out through the south and make a big tour through the south and end up back. If everything goes well, we'll be back in Ohio in near the end of November. So is our connection better now, Kai?
I can hear you. You're still kind of fading in and out a little bit. Can you hear me, though?
Very choppy.
Can you?
No, it's very choppy.
Okay,
so let's go ahead and break for a commercial, and we'll see if we can get a better connection.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a second. Let me save this file.
Would you like to do something to support BadQuaker.com? Here's how easy it is. If you're already going to buy something from Amazon, go to BadQuaker.com first. Click on any of the buttons for Amazon. Once at Amazon, shop like you normally would. You'll pay the same price for the things you buy from Amazon, but Amazon will give BadQuaker.com a tiny portion of that purchase. It's amazingly easy to shop at Amazon, it won't cost you any extra, and you'll be supporting BadQuaker.com. Thank you.
Did you know author Taryn P. Lupo has a new novel out called One Nation Under Blood? When a rejuvenative blood technology is developed that pits the young against the old, the government must take firm steps to address the war of supply and demand brewing across generational lines. Blood is not the only thing bought and sold in this dystopian tale of technology, economics, and independence. Vampires are now very real, but we never expected them to wear our grandmother's best Sunday dress.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon. Your house is
your property. Okay, welcome back to BadQuaker.com podcast. Ben Stone with Kai Vick, my sometime co-host and all the time daughter. We used to say this all the time when we podcasted regularly together. We're the only father-daughter anarchist podcasting team on the internet / radio.
That we know of.
Possibly the universe.
I'm going to go ahead and say the universe. No.
The only ones in the universe that we know of. So before the break, and when we were when our internet was sketching out on us, I was saying that we're going to take a motorhome tour through the South, and I'm not sure if we're going to have one or two. We might just take a quick tour in the motorhome and come back in time for Thanksgiving, or we might do that and then take a big tour after Thanksgiving. Or we might do our big tour before Thanksgiving. There's no way of knowing, because then, you know, we would have to plan something out, and you know how that is.
Right. Well, you know, the best way to ensure something doesn't get done is to plan for it.
Yeah. And the best way to mess something up is to plan it and then expect it to go that way.
Yeah. I don't know if you believe in, well, I know what you believe in, but as far as our listeners go, I don't know if you believe in, you know, the universe or a god or gods or nothing or anything like that. But there certainly seems to be something out there that delights specifically in saying, oh, look, this mortal has plans. I'm going to mess with him.
the 50-50 rule?
Yeah, exactly. The you know, yeah, it just seems like the more you decide that this is the way that something's going to happen, the less that that's the way it's going to actually happen.
And I should mention the 50-50 rule. The shortened version of the 50-50 rule is every time you start to plug in a USB cord without looking at it and you just jab it into the computer, it should be a 50-50 prospect as to whether it'll go in right or not, and yet you hit it wrong about 65% of the time.
Yeah.
So, what else is going on in the life of the Wren worker?
Not much. We went to this what was billed as an energy explorium, and it was put on by Duke Energy, and it's at the local nuclear power plant, and it was. I did not see any three-eyed fish in the pond though, but it was basically just this huge commercial exhibit for why nuclear power is super duper, and you know we should have more nuclear power.
Well, and you know the answer to that question, whether or not we should have more, is impossible to answer because the entire market and all the information we're given and everything is distorted by the fascist system that exists between companies like Duke and their monopoly that's given to them by the government.
Absolutely. You know, the entire energy market is so fascist that there's no way of telling it's impossible to predict what a free market energy market would look like. It's completely impossible because it is so skewed right now by such heavy state influence that you can't predict it.
So what else is going on in the Rennie world?
Oh, not much. You know, the usual, just dressing up in funny clothes and selling things to people.
Do you find that the market, so to speak, has recovered any since the, you know, because back in like in 2008 and everything, people didn't want to let go of a nickel at a Renaissance festival. Is that improved any at all?
It's hard to tell. This is the first time I've done this fair in North Carolina, so I don't know what its past performance has been like, and it's really hard to tell if its present performance is better or worse than its past performance, because this is the first time I've done it, so I'm not sure. I know as far as the fair that I went to in Kentucky, it is not showing any signs of improvement. The fair itself started at pretty much the very beginning of the economic downturn. So it never really had a chance to take off. And it is continuing to not really show a lot of people coming through the gates. And there's not really been an increase in patrons or in sales there.
Kentucky has been hit pretty hard in general by several different things that have happened to it. Some major manufacturing shutdowns and, you know, a lot of the light bulb industry that used to be in Kentucky is gone now because of that crazy twisty bulb laws and everything.
Yeah. The lovely, let's not get into the light bulb laws. I mean, that's fascism like 101 right there.
Yeah.
And a prime example of why patent laws are so evil against a free market.
I've been talking about this lately. Did you hear that Apple and Google now spend more on IP protection than they do on research and development?
That doesn't surprise me. Did you hear that Apple just sued Google? And now Google Android phones are not allowed to use the swipe keyboard anymore, which is where instead of clicking on each individual letter, you just slide your finger from one letter to the next and it fills in the word.
Oh, great. Well, that wasn't petty or anything, right?
Right, right. And Apple's like, no, we invented that technology, blah, blah, blah. That technology is ours. Awesome. Great. Because, you know, I'll bet anything that it's not the same programming, but it's the same concept. So what, we're not allowed to use that concept anymore? What, okay, who was the first person that invented a cell phone? Are they allowed to say, oh, you can't have a cell phone anymore. We own the rights to cell phones. It's ridiculous. At what point do you draw a line and say, no, you know, IP laws are causing harm. This is it's just, it's crap.
What would have happened if somebody would have attempted to protect the IP law or use IP law to protect the concept of using numbers to represent phone locations anyway? You know, right. Whoever the original person was who thought, you know what, instead of calling each other by our name on telephones, if we had some numbering system, well, whoever that was who thought of that, to think that today's IP is legitimate, you would have to also believe that thoughts like that should legitimately be protected by IP.
Or even the idea of, you know, a binary code.
Yeah.
You know, the whole internet revolution and the whole data revolution and everything involving computers happened because there was a free open market system that allowed it to happen. You know,
and now
the state is seeing that has happened and is frantically trying to shove it back down into a box, and they're using IP laws to do that with.
Exactly. That's kind of what I was going to say. The only reason that we had that temporary free market in thought with the internet was because the government was so big and dumb and stupid that it didn't recognize what was growing at, you know, right in its backyard.
Mm-hmm. You know, and people think, oh, well, the answer to that is I'm going to boycott Apple or I'm going to boycott Google because I don't like that they're suing for it. No, that's a symptom. That's like saying, you know, somebody's hitting me in the foot with a hammer, so I'm going to bandage up my foot because it hurts now. No, stop the person from hitting you in the foot with the hammer, because until you do that, nothing's going to be fixed.
Yeah, and in the question, you always have to ask who's holding the hammer. And ultimately, you know, I'm not happy with corporations. Corporations exist as a you know, an aspect of the state.
Right.
But ultimately, the hammer comes from government. The hammer is in the hands of government.
Absolutely. You know, because when corporations want to enforce their rule over people, they use the fist of the state. You know, the state is the strong man for banks, corporations, religion, anything that is being forced upon you. You need to look at and say, where is the actual force coming from? If you take away that force, what happens to that aspect? You know, do you look at religion? Religion by itself has no ability to force people to do anything. But when you add to religion the gun of the state, suddenly you're able to force people to be a certain religion.
I think a lot of anarchists miss that point, too. A lot of anarchists are they're really, you know, and it's fine if somebody's an atheist. I'm perfectly comfortable with that. But there are a lot of anarchists that are just violently atheist. And I think what they're missing is what you just said, that ultimately the problem is not in whatever belief system you might hold to, however silly. I mean, you might believe the most goofy belief system possible, but that's not the problem. If you just sit around and believe that, you don't cause any harm to anybody.
Right.
Know? Or even if you do cause harm, it's a very small circle of people that you can have influence over.
Right.
But it's when this marriage takes place between people's faith and then getting the fist of the government to do your bidding for you, whether that's in nanny laws or whether that's in, you know, whatever it is, invading another country or whatever, it's always the fist of the state that causes religion to be a problem.
Mm-hmm. I posted a Facebook meme picture thing a little while ago that caused a bit of an uproar on my friends list, because it was basically this picture saying, you know, if you believe that the government should stay out of a woman's reproductive system, and you also believe that the government should pay for a woman's reproductive system, you are a hypocrite. and it's true. That's absolutely true. And they got, I had so many liberal friends get so mad at me for that. And the thing is, like, it goes the other way around too. You know, like, if you want laws governing women's reproductive system, but you don't want to pay for them, that's hypocrisy too. Like,
yeah.
How about we just, I'll take care of my reproductive system. I'll take care of my whole body. My whole body. You take care of yours. Don't tell me what to do with mine. I won't tell you what to do with yours. How is that? How can you not see that? How can that not be the answer? Like, yeah. At what point are you able to set yourself on a path that leads you so far from the truth that you can accept the idea that you want the government to own part of your body but not other parts of your body? Like, at what point do you take that fork in the road and go off into Crazyville?
Well, typically where it goes is that the person says, I want the freedoms I want, but I want to dominate you the way I want. That's exactly. Whether they're right wing, left wing, liberal, conservative, none of that matters. That's really the core of their belief. I want the government to give me what I want, and I want the government to take from you what I want.
Exactly. And it's ridiculous. Like, I want the state to not take anything from me and not give me anything either.
Yeah. And I won't ask the state to take anything from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Seems like a fair arrangement.
Like that. And yet I'm the crazy one because I'm an anarchist. Like, I'm illogical and my systems, my answers could never work. Like, a voluntary society is such a ridiculous idea that it's almost, when you explain that that's what you believe in, you're almost seen as childish. You know, you're like, oh, well, it's okay. When you grow up, you'll understand. It's like, excuse me? How does not being a slave, how does wanting to not be a slave make me somehow infantile in my beliefs?
Yeah, and it's, you know, and then you say, well, because the current system is working so good, right?
Yeah. You know, I had this person on my Facebook post, you know, so many of you post political things, but how many of you actually get out there and vote? And it took every ounce of willpower to reply back that says, well, I don't vote because it's immoral and it's wrong and it's evil, and I think if you do vote, you are kind of a terrible person. Like, I don't know what to say to that, you know? And I've gotten to the point now where I won't even try to, like, sugarcoat it. I'm very blunt with people now, because it used to be like, well, you know, you take them through the steps of logic to say, okay, you know, do you like when I force my beliefs on you? No, I don't like when you force your beliefs. No, I just get to the point now. I'm like, no, if you vote, you're immoral.
Back to Michael Dean. He has a thing that he calls that. What does he call that? Oh man, I had it in my mind just for a second. It's where you say something libertarian oriented that's just so obnoxious but true that you just, it's like slapping somebody in the head with a dead fish or something. That's my description. That's not his. He has a phrase, you know, because Michael Dean and Nima Vedati have a whole language that they use to refer,
right,
to reference all these things.
Right. They're, did that come through?
Yeah. Was that a cricket?
No, that was my phone making a noise that I just got a text message.
Oh, no problem.
Okay.
I could hear crickets. It's okay. I could hear crickets earlier.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm in the middle of the woods, so. Okay. Anyway, yeah, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati are just super cool with all their terminology that I don't know because I'm not cool enough for any of it.
Yeah, we don't have the secret decoder ring.
I don't have the secret decoder ring.
We just go, it's how it's supposed to be. We don't understand fancy phrases like lib pair. Like that, you know, that's the libertarian paradise.
Right.
I never think far enough ahead to use the proper terminology. It's just like, you know, leave me alone. I want to be free.
Don't come on my property or I'll hit you with a stick.
I kind of got a little loony today because I was reading about Maryland this winter is going to start enforcing the existing law that if you leave your car running in your driveway, then they'll give you a $70 ticket and hit how you have a point system on your driver's license?
Yeah.
They'll hit you with 1 point on your driver's license and a $70 fine for leaving your car idling in your driveway to warm up on a winter morning.
What if you have a baby?
What if it's your driveway and it's your car?
What is wrong with people? And you know that there are people out there who are like, yeah, that's a good law. No. It's my property. It's my car. I'll turn it on whenever I want to, and I'll leave it running however long I want. If you have a problem with it, don't come on my property.
When I kind of went off on this, again, for our listeners that may be coming in on the radio and don't know what's going on, I'm Ben Stone from BadQuaker.com talking to Kai Vick, my sometime co-host and also my daughter. Well, when I was talking about this earlier, I'm sitting here at the computer ranting, and your mom was on the other computer, my wife, Cindy, and she's like, Ben, relax. That's the way the law is in Ohio. They can do the same thing right here. And I'm just like, they better not.
Of course.
That's it. That's my line in the sand.
This is the same, you know, this is the same concept as them telling you that you can't park your RV in your driveway.
Yeah. Which is where it's parked, by the way.
All right. Fighting the man.
Fighting the man, standing up for my rights. The whole time expecting a ticket any day now.
Yeah. You know, and what do? There's nothing. Do you bow down and obey it? Do you take a stance and get the ticket? At that point, what do? Do you fight it and go to jail? Or do you just give the extortion money to the state?
And most people, thinking this through, will not follow through the logical steps in this. They will say, well, if you just, you know, move your motorhome, or if you just pay the ticket, or if you just don't let your car sit out there and idle, then it won't be a problem. If you just obey, if you just do that. But they don't think through the steps that if you don't obey, you will be given a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be charged money. And if you refuse to respond to that paper and respond to that and pay the money, then they'll give you another paper. And then pretty soon a guy will show up with a paper.
Mm-hmm.
And if you still are not cooperative over something as simple as having your own car idling in your own driveway, if you're not responding the way they want, they will eventually send a guy out who doesn't have a paper. He has a rifle,
mm-hmm.
and he has about six other guys with him,
yep.
and they will not knock on your door. They will not knock on your door. They will crack your door open and come in forcibly, and if you resist, they will kill you.
Yeah.
And they will do that because you left your car idling in the driveway.
Yep.
And I'm not hyping anything. If you just think through the facts, they will shoot you and kill you because you left your car idling in the driveway.
Yeah. I've had that conversation with people before. You know, I've told them, you know, well, if you don't pay taxes, then the government will come kill you. And they're like, oh, you're being ridiculously over-sensationalized. And I'm like, no. Think through the steps logically. Like, at a certain point, the state only has one thing that it does, and that is kill people. It uses force. That's
everything boils down to that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only card in its hand, is the ability to use more force than you have.
And let me at that point.
Go ahead.
Let me at that point break and save this file. We'll stick a commercial in here and we'll come right back.
Okay.
I'd like to talk to you about Tom Woods' Liberty Classroom. The Liberty Classroom is a collection of courses on history and Austrian economics presented in an easy, convenient way. There are video files and audio files you can download. You can participate in discussions online in the discussion boards. And there are live sessions with Tom Woods and the other educators where you can directly interact with the instructors. Now, who is this for? It's for anyone who realizes that they didn't get the real story in government-approved schools. It's also great for homeschoolers and unschoolers. Join Tom Woods and his team, and they'll equip you with one of the very best tools the Liberty Movement has to offer, knowledge, real knowledge in a usable form. At Tom Woods' Liberty Classroom, you can get all this for only $99 a year. Now, that's less than the cost of one movie DVD a month. This gets you access to absolutely everything on their site, all the courses plus additional courses that'll be added later, the discussion forums, the live sessions, everything. So how do you do this? You go to badquaker.com. You click on the banner for Tom Woods Liberty Classroom. By using that link, you'll let Tom know that I sent you, and you'll help badquaker.com. Thank you very much.
And we're back again on badquaker.com. My name is Ben Stone, and with me is Kai, my sometime co-host and full-time daughter. And we were talking about the violence of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I mean, that's the only weapon they have. They have the threat of killing you, or they have the threat of some other type of violence against you to whatever extent it takes to intimidate you into behaving the way they want.
Yep. I mean, they clumsily use other tools. You know, they use disinformation and they use lies and they use these other tools, but they don't use them very well. And they're pretty easy to see through. And once you've seen through them, it's always just a gun. You know,
Once
you get to that point where you're like, you're lying here and you're lying here and you're lying here, their answer is, okay, well, I'm going to shoot you then.
I think this is really, for a lot of people, I think this is the source of some of the, you know, if you take on face value and you say all these 9/11 truthers and all the chemtrail people and all of the people that believe in lizard people, and it doesn't matter how far out there you get the conspiracy theory, the Kennedy assassinations, no matter how far you take the conspiracy theory, I think the real core of the problem is people have looked at what the government is selling and realized that they're being conned, and then something happens like 9/11, and they say, and they see immediate lies that you know are lies.
Right.
And so they have no, since everything you've seen coming from the government up to that point has been a lie, then you're left with no possible way you can believe the next set of fantastic information they're giving you.
Well, and you can see this pattern in the way that parents raise children, because they'll raise children from an early age. There's a Santa Claus. There's a Tooth Fairy. There's an Easter Bunny. There's, you know, all of these lies that you start out raising children with. And then after a certain point, when you start telling them things like, if you smoke marijuana, you're going to be a druggie forever, and it's going to ruin your life, and you're going to get in a car crash and die.
Right.
And then the kid smokes marijuana and is like, well, none of that happened. This cool high happened, but none of that stuff, none of that horrible stuff happened, you know. And it's just one thing after the other. And eventually, you know, this is where it leads into, well, I don't believe anything you've told me because you've lied to me so often.
Right.
You know, whereas if you start from the beginning and you tell them truth, when you tell them something, they're going to believe it's truth because you have a track record of being truthful. You know, if a kid comes up to you and says, you know, what's the deal on pot? And you're like, look, here's the deal. You're going to get high. It's going to feel great. But there's a high possibility of the government coming and kidnapping you and holding you in prison for up to forever. And also, here are other possible things that might actually happen. You know, if you've been proven to be honest with your kid up until that point, they're going to believe you because you don't have a reason not to. I mean, it's the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah. When you and your siblings were growing up, I would more than happily tell you, you know, cocaine is a wonderful thing. It is just magical. I love cocaine, but the problem with cocaine, on top of the fact that the police will put you in jail for very long periods of time, the problem with me and cocaine is that if I have it, I will not stop using it until it's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and it's not an addictive situation with me, because I can, you know, it's not addictive, to me.
Right.
Neither are opiates are not addictive to me either. But it just is so wonderful that why would you not? If
right.
you have it, why would you not?
Right.
The problem is, you know, you don't work a job. You don't make any more money. You end up not eating correctly. You end up, you know, eventually dead because it's such a wonderful thing.
Right.
So to combat that problem, I had to, even back when I did drugs, and we're talking 30 years ago, 32 years ago, even back when I did drugs, I would have to say, you know what, as sweet and magical as cocaine is, I can't do that because I can't control that.
Right.
So since I can't control it, I'm not going to do it because it'll control me.
Right.
So, you know, so I was always honest with you guys about that.
Cocaine
is just a magical, wonderful thing that's like, you know, it's whatever, however fairy dust would be, coke dust is better. But I'm not going to do it ever again. I will never, ever. I try not to ever speak in definites, you know,
right.
about the future.
Right.
But I understand what cocaine means. And again, it's not, to me, it's not addictive because just like opiates are not addictive. But opiates are the same way, you know. I was on real high levels of pain medication, opiates. And it was like, wow, this is really great. I can do this and I don't feel any pain and it's wonderful. But there are aspects of it I don't like, and so I'm not going to do it anymore.
Right.
And I go through a couple weeks of withdrawals, and then it's over with.
Right.
So kids, don't take drugs.
Don't take drugs, kids. Yeah. But, you know, it's the same concept. When as a person, there comes a point in your life where you are faced with a situation where you see that the state has lied. And some people, when that situation happens, they get really, really angry at the person showing them that it's a lie, and they run back to the state and pretend that they never saw it. Some people believe, you know, some people see this moment of clarity and they're like, huh, that's a lie. Well, I wonder what else is a lie. And they come to the conclusion that everything that the state says is a lie. And then, you know, they're logical anarchists. And then some people, they see that the state is a lie, and so they think everything ever is a lie. And that, you know, we're holding UFOs prisoner in Nevada, and where, you know, you have to duct tape your window shut and everything. And you know, too far. Come back a little. Come back to reality, because there's a line, you know. There's that, yes, the government has done horrible things to people, you know, the Tuskegee experiments, all of the really horrific things that the government has done, it makes it hard to say, okay, well, the government is capable of spraying horrific chemicals on people in Asia because we're in a war with them. But I'm not going to believe that they're spraying chemtrails on us right now, because there's no proof of that.
And you know? Unless you can show me proof.
Unless you can show me proof. And in which case, I'm going to be like, oh, well, sounds about right. You know, it's not going to shock me.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it past them.
No, I wouldn't put it past them in a heartbeat. You know, and do I believe that the government has drones spying on people? Yes. Do I believe that the government has a drone spying on me? No. Why? Because I have no evidence of that. And there seems to be no reason why they would. But if they are, it would not surprise me in the slightest.
Oh, they are.
Oh, they are. Oh, yes. And I wanted to talk about that, too, because I learned at the Discovery Place, aside from the fact that if you don't write on both sides of the paper, you're killing, you know, iguanas or something in the rainforest and polar bears. I also learned that if you put greenhouse gas or glass, greenhouse glass, not gas, on your house, the drones can't see you.
It's like camouflage to drones. It's
camouflage to drones. Yeah, we were at this one exhibit where the dude had an infrared camera, and he was like, yeah, and see if you use this glass, then it doesn't allow any of the infrared light to go through, and you're invisible to the camera. And I was like, And he was talking about how the infrared is what the military uses to spy on. And his words were, I forget how he said it, but it was something like, you know, he said it's how the government drones look at people's houses. And then he was like, terrorist houses. And I was like, nice catch there, buddy.
Yeah, because they never make a mistake and look at anybody else.
No. Well, and, you know, the drones only ever bomb terrorists. They don't bomb, like, thousands of innocent children in Pakistan or anything like that. Oh, wait.
Oops.
Oops. There's a Penn Jillette picture going around on Facebook, the quote of his where he's talking about how, you know, people are all up in arms because, I don't know, Mitt Romney or somebody, I can't keep them straight, talked about how that he wanted to defund Sesame Street. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, people are up in arms about this. And he's like, how are you angry about the fact that they're going to cancel the money for Big Bird when this government right now is killing thousands of children in the Middle East? And those kids will never, ever, ever get to see Big Bird because you've just killed them. And it's like, you know, nice priorities there. Because, you know, we're fine and we're placid as long as the nice white kids in America get to watch Big Bird.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care about those brown kids in Pakistan that are dying.
Well, if they live, they'll probably try to come over here and take our jobs anyway.
Probably. Or bomb us for no reason at all. Just because they hate our freedoms. It's just because they hate our freedoms.
And that's why the government's protecting us, because they're taking our freedoms away as fast as they can so that those little brown people in foreign countries won't try to come over here and take our freedoms away, right?
Exactly, exactly.
I am really getting some evil looks here. I need to make a disclaimer that I am being facetious against, you know, with my comments, that is how some people view this situation. And again, don't take cocaine, kids. It will destroy your life. It will destroy your life. I'm about to get fired from badquaker.com.
Oh, that's too
funny. By the actual owner who's giving me the evil eye, like she's about to come over in here and hit me in the head with a screwdriver or something.
Oh, that's too funny. Kids, don't do cocaine. It's she got a screwdriver?
Yes.
No, Dad, he'll forget how to use the computer.
You know, it's funny. We have about 5 minutes in the podcast left, so I want to tell a quick story. Over the weekend, there was this goofy woman named Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And one of the, I think it was We Are Change, I think it was We Are Change, confronted her and on camera and said, what about the president's, you know, indefinite detention act? And what about the president's kill list? And, you know, these things are all in the mainstream media. This is not just the wacko, you know, fringe groups that are talking about this stuff.
Right. Right.
And she's head of the DNC. She's head of the Democratic National Committee. And she honestly, you could tell by the look on her face, she honestly had never heard of this stuff. She had no clue that there was indefinite detention and a kill list.
Wow.
Now, this has all been leaked. It's New York Times, big mainstream media. Washington Post did a thing just like yesterday on it. This is very, you know, well known, and she's the head of the DNC, and clearly, I mean, it wasn't deception. If she was acting, then she needs to be given the next Oscar. She was, you know, she was clearly had no clue that there was such a thing as indefinite detention and a kill list.
Wow.
And so pretty much everybody has jumped onto this over from the weekend and through. And I had all notes written out. I was going to jump on this Monday morning and do a story. Glenn Greenwald, who's a liberal, did a really good story on it. And then others did more stories. And then, like I said, the Washington Post came out with a story on it. And everybody's just beside themselves that this idiot, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, didn't, as head of the DNC, and still didn't know this basic stuff about this god she worships, you know?
Well, but that's the issue right there, is that she doesn't need to. All she knows is if she bows down at the altar and anoints his feet with oil, then she will be, you know, blessed with many blessings.
Yeah.
Because yeah. It's a religion. Worship of the state is a religion, just like any other religion.
Hey, go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was just frothing at the mouth ranty about, you know, people not understanding religion and where it comes from, and that worshiping the state is a religion.
Speaking of which, guess who I landed an interview with, and who will be going on air with on Friday's podcast.
Who's that?
Guess. Go ahead, guess. Larkin Rose.
I don't know. Larkin Rose. Yay, Larkin Rose.
Yeah. I've already got it recorded, and this podcast that you and I are doing right now will be the Thursday podcast, and then Larkin Rose's will be, if everything goes right, will be the Friday podcast.
Yay. I feel all special. I'm being interviewed by, well, not really interviewing. I'm podcasting on the same podcast as Larkin Rose. Yay. That makes me like a legitimate anarchist activist, right?
Or something. Yeah. Yeah, he's like a rock star, and you're like the opening act.
Yay! I opened for Larkin Rose.
You have an amp that goes to 11? I bet you don't get that one either.
I do. I have an amp that goes to 11, and I totally get that, even though I've never seen that movie either, but I know the reference.
So sad.
Yeah, I know. I live in a tent. What do you want from me? I have no electricity. You're lucky I can make the talkie box work.
Isn't that wild? You're in a tent with no electricity, and you're talking. You're in North Carolina. I'm in Ohio, and we're in the process of recording something that's going to go out to thousands of people around the world.
Over the internet. We're recording it over the internet.
We're recording it over the internet. Yeah. You without electricity in another state, hundreds of miles away.
Sitting literally in the middle of the woods. I am on the internet talking to you nearly 1,000 miles away.
This is the kind of thing that Jeffrey Tucker writes whole articles about.
Yep. And it was made possible by loopholes in the IP laws.
And sometimes just cheating them, yeah.
And sometimes just ignoring them outright. Yay, ableism.
I had a thought there and I lost it. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. I know you've been sort of disconnected from everything that's going on up here, so I want to let you know that we got our forum up and running, and we have a bunch of new members.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook. I need to actually go there and sign up and whatnot. Maybe one of these days I'll venture off my little hilltop here and go down to, like, I don't know, a Starbucks or something and get internet.
They have Starbucks in North Carolina?
They do. A lot of them. I had Starbucks today.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
There's a Starbucks three trees over from my tent. It just appeared there. Three people decided to camp near me, and suddenly a Starbucks appeared.
It's run by a squirrel with an attitude?
Yes, and hair that droops over his eye.
An emo squirrel?
An emo squirrel runs the Starbucks. Everything tastes vaguely of acorns.
Oh, man.
All right. Okay. Well, is that our time?
Yeah, we better wrap this up. Thanks a lot for doing the podcast with me.
No problem.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Folks, for more on liberty, the zero aggression principle, and property rights, go to badquaker.com. And don't forget the forum. Bye.